Come on in. It's okay. No problem. All right. Let's be sure we're in fellowship. Oh, a couple things. Deacon's meeting to follow. And then I got to catch a plane. I'm just kidding. Not really, but we'll be on our way to the cruise line in Vancouver come Tuesday, and we will be back and have Bible class the 29th. We'll actually be back in town the 24th. So be good, be in fellowship, and everything will be fine. It always is. Teach the truth. It works out. I know we're going through a difficult time, but I have a responsibility before you and before God. And like any number of you have ever told me over the years, just give us the truth. And as difficult as this one was, not regard so much the subject matter, but the very reactions that you got from day one, a lot of real anger. And it's one thing to feel like the truth is being threatened and you have to stand for it. That's understandable. But, you know, getting in people's face and almost wanting to throw fists and stuff, this isn't appropriate for a Christian. And it is appropriate that you stay in fellowship and do your work. Do what you've got to do. I do my homework, you know, and you have to do your homework. And I would encourage you to do a lot of praying about it. You say, well, I have. Okay. But what kind of prayer? Your prayer ought to run along the lines is, if this is right, God, I want you to do things in my life that make it clear to me. I want to cross the Rubicon. And I don't want to stay. That's the expression for history students. Caesar did that with his army. He brought it. Okay. Romans were never to bring their military machine into Rome. They were to stay on the other side of the Rubicon. Well, of course, Caesar did. So I crossed it for myself personally with much prayer and much time, no knee-jerk write-off in it. And I have prayed a lot about this, and I believe that God has always supported me in the communication of information. And all the breakthroughs, all the developments from the time I came here. I put my ministry on the line the time I came here. These were all expatriates from some form of Baraka church stuff. Not citizens in Houston in the church, but on tapes. That's what they all were. And I get up here and I teach the United States is going to be blown off the face of the earth on the bicentennial. What was I thinking? That was our July 4th special. You had to be here. But I knew it was true. See, it didn't come overnight. How did it come to me that time? Well, I knew that there was some really screwed up with what was our understanding of Jeremiah. I wasn't even looking at Revelation. I was looking at Jeremiah 50 and 51, where Babylon is destroyed and all this. And I go, what? That didn't happen to ancient Babylon, the Babylon of Nebuchadnezzar. It was unique how it was overthrown. There was no fire and destruction and killing of people and rendering it without an inhabitant. All historians will tell you, see, here we are with the history. History is another savior for us. All history will tell you that the Persians conquered Babylon. They were the next big empire on the block. They conquered Babylon, but they didn't do it by... They did it, and Daniel was inside the city. Nebuchadnezzar had passed, and this creep that succeeded him was a wreck, a debauching wreck that just inherited the glory and the power with no storms and standards, not run anything. And the Persians came up to the famous walls of Babylon. That's one of the wonders of the antiquity, was the walls of Babylon. They were so big, you could run two chariots around the outside of them, side by side. And the attitude among the leadership of the elite of the Babylonians was, we can wait this out. Cyrus and his army can just go you know where out there in that hot desert. We got water, we got the Euphrates, we got this, we got food supplies. They'll eventually get tired and go home. So the night that it happened, Belshazzar, who should be protecting his nation and acting like a leader, is having a big hell-raising bash in his palace. Liquor's flowing. Oh, and he did something else stupid. Nebuchadnezzar would have never done this. He had him bring up the vessels that they used in the sacred temple of Solomon so they could do toast and drink out of it and debauch. And all of a sudden, in the great hall of their party, a hand, a severed hand, appears on the wall and starts writing a message. They sobered up. They ran around in circles trying to get somebody to figure out what that meant. Oh, yeah, there was a guy. We put him kind of, he's in the back. The queen mother, actually, who had a connection back there. She said, there's a man. See, he's an old man. He's been shelved. He's not in the limelight anymore. He went, that period of his life, he went from this, you know, guy that was always so special to Nebuchadnezzar. He comes there as a Jewish youth. His life's torn all to hell, cosmically speaking. He's drug off into Babylon, and because he is a part of the Jewish aristocracy and society and various things, he's a good-looking young guy. So they want to decorate their organization with those kind. Anyway, that's how he got in there. And God worked him all the way through this. But now he's an old man. He's the same Daniel. You play the game spiritually, people, this way. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You get your eyes off people. I know you see them and you observe them. Do not be upset. Don't judge this doctrine by, well, what people aren't going to like it? That I love or I'm close to or family. We get up and we get our hymnal open and we sing. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. So you're upset because a family member isn't where they ought to be spiritually. You can exhort them, you can encourage them, you can pray for them, but you do not let them mess you up. You had no guarantees that every one of your family members was going to, lock into the truth and be where they needed to be. It didn't happen for me and my wife. And you think it's going to happen for you? You say you love them, right? You say, I love them. What do you tell them when you see them? I didn't see you in class. And when you're here, you're not locked in. They will remember that about you. Not, oh, hug, hug, love, love, let's look the other way, and away we go. You do right by people. And even if you have to tell them, as a parent, as a grandparent, as a whoever, where you have authority to talk to them. You have some history. You don't just zero in on. I mean, you can talk. You can exhort any believer. I missed you in Bible class. Your attendance isn't that good. We're friends. I care about you. Or I'll say to somebody, well, what happened? Well, I got a real bad headache and I wasn't there Sunday. People are close. Okay, fine. I understand a real bad headache would knock you out. So, again, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. You have to stand on your own two feet spiritually. So what if your spouse flips? It's embarrassing. You come in by yourself. No, it's just you humbled yourself. God will work with that person. And He'll vindicate you. You're not here. As long as so-and-so's here, I'm here. What's that? That's nothing. I've taught that a million times. It's about the truth. Yes, we can have a lot of Lupe. And some of these people here give me a lot of Lupe. It's a big item on my plate. But I also have joy. And blessed are those who sorrow, for they will be comforted. I have a job to do. You called me here to do it. Comes late in the game. If science and the Bible conflict with one another, guess what gets thumbs up from you and I? The Bible. Whether it's science or history or anything else. Because as someone said, I can prove, if you could prove that, we're spinning through space and shooting around the sun and all that. If you could prove that, I'd quit. Guaranteed. I respect the Bible that much. And I didn't read Genesis 1 in light of modern science. What does modern science say? They don't say anything about Genesis 1. It is so different, I can't even imagine it being more different. Nobody could write up something that is at odds with theoretical science, how we got here, origins of things, than Genesis 1. I mean, please, I beg of you, please understand that this gives no hints at all of any magnitude that the system devised by Copernicus and all his successors was the one that's in place. The Bible isn't dumbed down, like one preacher said. God had to dumb the Bible down. Pathetic. God's a genius. He did it. He can inspire people to write it however He wants to write it and lay it out. Well, why didn't He say it this way and that way? It'd be like someone come out and say, well, why doesn't the Bible just come out and say you can't lose your salvation? I want a verse that just says, no matter what you do, you can't lose your salvation. Well, I can give you close enough stuff. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither things present, things to come, blah, 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 blah. I can give you that. Isn't that good enough? You want it worded your way? Well, that's not your province. It's not mine either. I can get out of it. Well, why'd you put that in here like that? Then I have to remember, oh, it's God. Yeah, He did that. Okay. But take an issue with Him. Because, Job, it doesn't work. You will get so put in your place, you'll be in tears. So I just want to report this. Actually, there's a part of it that is fun. F-U-N. We're all about fun, right? Everybody's about fun. Let's have fun. Rah, rah, rah. It's fun. The truth is supposed to set you free, and it does. I'm free of all that mess. To hell with them and all their stuff they're saying. And it gives you joy. Plus H. Now, when you're around people that aren't that way, then the fellowship bond is broken. If you're around a believer at Maranatha Church that doesn't believe in the doctrine of separation at hardly any level, and it's just A-OK for this, then there's a clash. Is there not? They break the bond of fellowship. You didn't. Now you're kind to them and you try to get along with them and all the rest of it, and you're going to be nice to them when you see them here in the assembly. You're not going to give them dirty looks. That definitely isn't in fellowship. You're going to treat him kindness. And one thing, love without phoniness. No phoniness. Phoniness sucks. As David said, they speak kind words with their mouth. See, he ran it. They had all this power, right? And these people were jealous of it. They speak kind words with their mouth, but war is in their heart. They're just looking for an opportunity. So we want love without hypocrisy. No phoniness. Genuine love. Genuine appreciation. And I appreciate the support I got on this thus far from Positive Volition very much. I'm a human. I need encouragement too. I'm a human. I pray for encouragement. I play, and this whole thing, see, it's okay. Any new doctrine, you'll all agree, any new doctrine presented takes a while to get all the features. And you want it all full blown and understand every detail instantly? Well, you'll have to die. Well, what's it look like? Well, what's this? What about this? Come on, come on. Give me a chance to present it. Go back to Genesis 1. Or go back to what you're believing. Why are you so in love with that for? I don't get it. I know it's in every fiber of our being, and from the time we were raised up like somebody who, you know, was buried in Christmas tradition from the day you were, and then you come to remember it at the church and this pastor throws cold water on it and takes away my fun. Well, you can go right back out there and do Christmas up to your ears. You can put on your stupid Santa Claus hat with your kids and have your picture taken with them. What a message are you giving those little kids? Honestly. Pay no heed to myths, the Bible says. No heed. I just teach it. Some will comply and some won't. That's not my problem. My problem is to get the information set in front of you. It's your deal to deal with. So if you're angry with me, see, if you're locked up under your STA, you can't get the implications of these things. Let me try this one again. The peoples of antiquity, from the Tower of Babel all the way to the time of Christ and beyond, were flat earthers. You didn't get that in school? I got all these little silly things, you got a little boat going over the side and someone else found the edge. Alexander thought he could find the edge of the earth because he's this big adventurer. He's another Nimrod type. And he has all this talent and ability and all this stuff, you know, and this is what he just liked to do things for the hell of it. They'd come to a city. He wouldn't wait. He'd be scaling the wall first. They don't want their commander, and all the Greeks would go fanatic to try to protect him. Because he was always, well, we're going to return to Greece. Let's go the easy way. No. There's a real badass desert out there. We're going to cross it. So, dying time, we can say, they crossed it. Yeah, a lot of guys died. It was stupid. It's to prove a point. They all believed it. Your history books teach it. Now, if you reject me on that, I don't have any help for you. They didn't have the heliocentric thing in the Greco-Roman Empire. Oh, this is our new deal now, everybody. So the writers of Scripture didn't have to deal with that subject because they had the Old Testament. And anybody had any questions about that, go read Genesis 1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was all set. He didn't have to straighten the Jews out on that. They didn't have salvation right, but they had that right. They understood that. They were people of the book. Oh, yeah, they distorted it badly. But they were, the Bible's the word of the Old Testament. That's the word of God. That's it. And they knew their cosmology. So it is a fool's errand to try to think that Moses believed what we've been raised up on. No way Moses believed that. History tells us that. Forget about other, just history. And the church of Jesus Christ on earth stood for the truth in this when it was coming out for a while, debated it, and became its usual lukewarm. We got to make amends, and we got to compromise with the cosmos. See, that's the essential. That's the essence of lukewarmness. It isn't just all the little fundy, stupid stuff. Yeah, all the little stuff they do in their churches, the meaningless stuff. Well, I had a couple compliments with regard to visitors. One of them directly, one of them indirectly, with a wedding. The DJ praised it because it's a witness. I don't have to stand up there and say what's wrong with marriage today. Everybody, dog ought to know that. Chaos. Now, if you've had failures, I'm not on your case. I'm just saying this is the cosmos, American cosmos mentality today. It's chaos. But I didn't have to talk about that. I just presented marriage as a divine institution, established principles, and the gospel. And that's what I want those people that were visitors to hear. And those of you who are believers, you didn't get some sloppy, saccharine-coated wedding ceremony with a bunch of music and a dog and pony show. It's over. We don't do that. We're Maranatha Church. We stand for the truth. And if people out there say, oh, that church believes that, and it's the truth, I don't care what they say. I will bear the reproach of Christ to the end. You know what a reproach is? Bad mouthing. I'll bet you it's running amok out there. I bet it's like on a hot wire. Oh, you know what they believe down there now? Well, if you're not convinced of the truth and stand in it, then you're intimidated by this stuff. Be kind to all. But stand firm for the truth. And if you're not there yet, just say, I'm working on it. For some, it was easy to figure out. I got an email from a couple that lived in Louisiana. Well, I say it's a couple, but it was the male individual. I heard your Wednesday night class online. We're listening to it again. It is so intriguing. I can't wait to hear the rest of it. And this person has. Oh, you say they're just gullible? No, they're not. No, they're not. You can figure something out as quick or as slow as you want to make it happen. But if you have a hidden agenda, that ship doesn't float. It wrecks before you get it started. As I said, I had prayed. You know the wisdom prayer of James? If anyone lacks wisdom, I sure did in this area. I didn't know it. I said, let him ask. And my prayer was modified. I'm the pastor teacher at Maranatha Church. I want to get my crown. And if there is anything really big we've missed, I need you to deliver it to me when you are ready. And I prayed that long before I ever heard flat earth, any of this issue coming up. That was my prayer. That sounds like the way it ought to go. And then when it came along, at first I didn't like it either. Because I had to eat my own plate of crow. And bury my own stupid pride. As with any doctrine, as time goes on, once you cross that Rubicon, there's no turning back. Well, I suppose you could turn back, but when you cross that, that's the borderline. That's the click. Oh my God, that's true. That's what I'm going on. And I have the Bible, and as any of you, if you live up to what you said, I'm going to hear him out, and he's got to demonstrate. My wife said that to me. That's Brenda right there. She said that to me. You're going to have to prove it to me from the Bible. I said, fair enough. Fair enough. It's going to take some time when we get it going. But you have to make it your baby. I can't. I just teach it. Like always. Now, we all started off. Here's how I didn't know how I was going to approach this at all. And I thought, well, God, how should I approach this? Why don't you start with Genesis 1, dummy? Might be a good place to start. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Because that's the foundation. Everything comes off of that. Everything rises or crashes on Genesis 1, the origin of things. Then I began to realize where I had skewed things. Where I had took these liberties to make this other work. I don't have to do this anymore. I can look at this under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and forget about Copernicus and forget about all this and look at this and see what matches up. And that's what I did there. I advise, when I go home, don't if you're just around people that are and this is stupid and you go out and huddle with them and you run and you have little texts and messages and all the crap. Once you cross the Rubicon, you don't have to discuss it with them, and argue with them, and argue the science, and get all wrapped up in the science. First, we go with the Bible. Don't be afraid of the truth. It sets you free. You do your homework while I'm gone. That means a lot of prayer, and also that you go over the information. Look up the scriptures. And while you're doing it, have a prayer on your tongue. Father, help me with this. I want to have this right. I do not want to end up wrong on this area. And don't tell yourself stupid stuff like, what does it matter? What if I believe it's round or believe it's flat or believe it's this or believe it's that? Somebody said that to me right when this first came out. Not direct. Yeah, directly on the phone. Before I'd committed to anything, and they told me, oh, what does it matter what the earth is shaped like, whether it's got like a little donut with sprinklies on it? What? I got that from a believer that shouldn't talk like that. It's embarrassing. Whatever. Well, it's the truth. And it's the truth of Genesis 1. You're going to love Genesis 1, or you're going to hate the first chapter in the Bible. It's not me. Yeah, you're going to hate it. Because you can see here. See, I had to start way back. I had to go back before Genesis 1 opens up. I had to go back to a thought that I don't think any of you would argue with. Before anything was brought into existence, God existed eternally. No problem there, huh? Write down anything I say here on these. You write down, no problem. That's NP. Or BP, big problem. You do that with red ink if you like. And then you go back to the ones you're having a problem with. But stick with me, because if you're out of fellowship, even that doesn't, you know how it is. When you're out of fellowship, things are kind of messed up. Although, I can be out of fellowship and not run around and espouse stupid doctrine. And apparently I could be in fellowship and espouse stupid doctrine when I taught this wrong. But I ain't. How could you be back in fellowship? You weren't fellowshipping, and blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to leave. What? You have those expectations of a pastor teacher? Then you're not going to keep one very long. But that's I can't deal with that. That's just nutty. You owe it to your pastor teacher, who has a track record, to hear you out. Hear him out. If he flops, he flops. But you owe him that much. Before anything was brought into existence, God existed eternally in endless space. That's clear. Endless space. There's no edge to it. That was filled with light. No darkness. So there had to be something there. It was either light or it wasn't. So there was no darkness. It was light, and it extends forever. And nobody can comprehend that. John 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. Second person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Etc., etc. That's pretty clear. That's just basic doctrine of Christology and Trinity related to this. You all understand that part, right? That's not hard. And I gave you another verse. There's a lot of verses that you have. Now you can think about them, even you have more insight. Before the mountains were born, they're pretty old, I understand. Or you gave birth to the earth, that's older even. You gave birth, that's another word. It's a poetic way of dealing with the creation of Genesis 1:1. Or you gave birth to the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So God, in our study and understanding of God, he didn't have a startup point. And 1 John 1:5b, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Well, that also refers to any false concepts that God would put forth. But God is light, both literally and metaphorically. So here we have endless space, not one material thing, not even any other thing, but three members of the Godhead existing in eternal space, all out there. Two, the very first thing that God brought into existence was the angelic race. And that is somewhere in, I got that one. I put Job chapters 38 through 40 because they are a treat to read. This is the area where God is hammering Job, his servant, who's all beat to hell physically and emotionally. And he isn't cutting him any slack. But he isn't being unrighteous. Job's acted up. When a person and acted up, he needs to be put in his place. And this is Job, right? This is the best believer around, and he was a good one. You say, I don't know where I'd be if I was under the kind of health test and all the people left me and abandoned me, and my wife's telling me to curse God and die and get a lot of help there. And we have these great... somebody was telling me they were talking to a Christian, a relative who's a Christian. And I think it was down in Texas. And they got to talking about God and his plan, and creation became a topic. And this woman, this Christian woman in this Baptist church, said, I have some serious problems with statements in the book of Job about this creation and the way we've been taught it. Opened a perfect door to witness to the person and say, well, look this up. Other people, you even bring it up, they clam up. They feel threatened, like you're attacking their mother or something. At least curious. Didn't you have a knee-jerk reaction maybe when you first heard it? Oh, that person believes that? I thought better of that person. Well, you don't even know what they thought. Because you said there's no possibility, and you had your own form for reason. And I've heard them. It's like, oh, so many people couldn't be in on this. Well, based on this, apparently there are. At all levels, deceived, or those that know that it's what it is. Why do you think the kings of the earth conspire? What do you think conspiracy is? Some people don't like conspiracy. I tell them, this event and this event has all the earmarks, thick as anything, that this was a conspiracy. And you believe the press, and you believe the official government statement of the United States of America in the last days on these big topics, I would double check that. I really would. And people point out, these are all the anomalies, why this wouldn't work this way. I don't care. Didn't happen that way. Okay. But in Job chapters 38 and following, we have God coming to Job. Job gets hammered both by God and by another younger believer. He has to really take it. He answered him out of the whirlwind. Let's put on a big stage. Let's put on something here dramatic. And you know how God addresses Job, you're my servant. I know you're suffering. Blah, blah, blah. No. Who is this that darkens counsel? Do you get that phrase means? Who is that throws darkness in on the question? True counsel, true advice, true information. And he says, who is this? Who is this that darkens counsel? By words without knowledge. Running your mouth. People love to run their mouth. I discovered that. Now, gird up your loins like a man. You know, it was probably difficult for that man to even stand up. And I will ask you, and you will instruct me, smart ass. I added that part. That's the language here. Now I'm going to let you teach me, Job. You're the almighty teacher. You suddenly got all this wisdom. This is how he's treating him. This is his faithful son, the best one on earth. So, he doesn't tiptoe around him. That was why we do these things. It's fun. It's fun to see the right way you're supposed to act under circumstances. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Genius. Where were you at? We'll deal with the foundations of the earth. It has foundations. It has pillars. You say it doesn't need pillars. It doesn't matter. It has them. You didn't ask God for some advice on, here's the way I think you ought to build it, God. I would have done it this way. Well, fine. This is the way it is. Where were you when I did this? Tell me if you have understanding. I want some info from you. Who said it's measurements? Since you know. You got all the specs down, don't you, Job? You got all the specs. I want to hear the specs. On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Focuses on the earth. When? That's our key verse. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that's the documentation for you that the angels were present and accounted for at the witness of the creation of Ha'aretz, the earth. And that's, along with the heaven above, that's the first thing after the angels God created. That was my point here for you. See, you have verses to hang your hat on. You don't have to just... I'm not asking you to take my word for it. So the very first thing that God brought into existence was the angelic race, who witnessed the creation of the heaven and earth as per Genesis 1:1. Go see Doctrine of Angels if you have any questions as to the origin of angels. Jesus Christ brought the entire angelic race into existence. All of them. Bam! They were full-blown, like Adam and Eve in the garden, full-blown, had a certain intelligence, awareness, and everything, with having no actual experience of anything. We call that in our theology class special creation. And that's what we have all through Genesis 1, special creation. God the Son is the hands-on creator of all things that have come into existence. Our doctrine of the Trinity and Christ is the hands-on creator. What other members of the Godhead do in relationship to these things is another matter. But all the scripture points to the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one that took upon himself human flesh and became the Savior of the world, is the creator. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That kills all this stuff of origins of stuff. It came through fiat creation, the power of God to do what no other can do, bring into existence something that did not previously exist in whatever form he wants it. Since he is the creator and he alone has that power, he doesn't have to consult anybody. He didn't consult anybody. Get a committee together. The members of the Godhead all agreed on the nature of the earth, the nature of the creation, which we will pick up on the 29th of July. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth, and we ask that you be with those who are struggling, with those who've got it figured out, with all of us, and that we patiently and diligently look at this as we ought to. In Christ's name, amen.